As you're able, please stand for the reading of God's Word. First of all, from 1 Chronicles 29, verses 10 to 13. Therefore David blessed the Lord in the presence of all the assembly. And David said, "Blessed are you, O Lord, the God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. And now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name." Our second reading is from Revelation chapter 4, verses 8 to 11. "And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within. And day and night they never cease to say, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come.' And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who is seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, 'Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created.'" Amen. We are currently involved in a series on the Lord's Prayer, and we come this morning to the first petition, "Hallowed be thy name." If you're a Jeopardy fan, you may have noticed that this prayer made the news recently. A contestant was asked a simple question. You would think it would be common knowledge. Said, "Fill in the blank. Our Father who art in heaven, blank, be thy name." There were three contestants asked. Guess how many knew the answer?
None.
Well, we know the answer, don't we? We'll study it this morning. It just seemed to be what was once common knowledge in our culture is not that way anymore. I want us to notice the simple structure. Bit of review there. Secondly, notice that this is a family affair. Thirdly, it is a corporate prayer. There is no drab deity. And then fifthly, that the world may know. First of all, just a word about the simple structure. The opening address, "Our Father in heaven," is followed by six petitions. Three that focus on God's glory, and then three that focus on our good. Following the six petitions, there's a concluding response. That's it. Simple as it is. The Didache, which is the earliest non-biblical source we have from the early church, in the Didache, Christians were instructed to pray the Lord's Prayer three times a day. Morning, noon, and evening. Now, likely, they were probably picking up on the tradition of synagogue prayer, morning, afternoon, evening prayers. And so that was their pattern. And so the early church, after the death of the apostles anyway, often prayed the Lord's Prayer three times a day. And it's a simple structure, something that we can easily teach to our children and grandchildren. Notice secondly here that it's a family affair. The first word in our English translations is our. However, in the original, in the Greek, the first word is Father. It reads Father our in the Greek. Awkward in the English, though, isn't it? The biggest indicator of Christian prayer is not the geographic direction in which we pray, nor the physical position that we take when we pray. Rather, what makes prayer Christian is, first of all, an awareness of the one to whom we pray. Who are we addressing? Whose name are we calling upon? Here it's our Father. To pray with intimacy, closeness to God as Father is not a human right. We don't get to do it. We don't get to assume it just because we've been born. No. No, it is a spiritual privilege for those who have been born again and know the rebirth. It is a privilege for those who have been born by the Spirit of God. Again, it is not our human birthright to call God our Father. It is our born-again birthright to call God our Father. So we come to Him when we pray. We come to Him as children. Children. Children who are comforted that our Father loves us. And confident that He wants to hear from us. It's a family affair. Notice thirdly, it's also a community prayer. The plural pronoun, our Father. We just noted that we should be confident that God wants to hear us when we pray. More accurately, He wants to hear from us. He wants to hear from His children. Of course, we should pray by ourselves, too. Of course, corporately, we have prayed this morning. But also in private. Jesus modeled this by getting in private for prayer multiple times mentioned in the Gospels. Matthew 14, verse 23, for existence. Mark 1, verse 35, on a different occasion. And then Luke 5, verse 16, he prayed in private. It is striking that in this prayer there are no first person pronouns in the whole prayer. We don't say, I want, me desires, nothing like that at all. No, the important takeaway from our Father is that prayer is a corporate event. A corporate praying. Well, it's a family, a community affair. Notice fourthly that He is no drab, washed out, colorless deity. Where is He? Our Father in heaven. In heaven. God is our Father. Our Father is God. In our day, the fatherhood of God is challenging to some in this congregation. Some Christians grew up with a weak father. Others grew up with an abusive father. Some grew up without a father at all. And then we're being taught to call Him Father. Yes. And we can sympathize with those for whom the word Father stirs up all kinds of bad connotations and painful thoughts. Our Father in heaven is the one like whom earthly fathers should be. We must interpret our past, our experience, through God's Word. What God's Word tells us about our Father in heaven, we don't reverse it. We don't interpret the Bible through our painful past experiences. The Father who loves us is the King, the Lord of all, who rules the universe. He reigns over everything, things public and secret, private and well known. The vitality of this prayer lies in the vision of God that prompts it. Drab thoughts of God make prayer dull. We need to remind ourselves over and over again, who is the one that we are addressing? Our Father in heaven. Notice fifthly, the petition there, hallowed be your name. When we pray that, we're not asking for God's name to be holier than it already is. No, it is not like using a microscope to make small things look bigger. No, rather it's the other way around. Praying this way for God's name to be hallowed is like using a telescope that brings into view things that are unimaginably big and enormous. Hallowed be your name. It means, may the world and all created things see Him for who He is. And may His human creatures adore Him and obey Him as our Father. And may we seek to do that as well. Amen. Will you pray with me? Our Father, that is enthroned in heaven, adored by thousands upon thousands of the angelic hosts, enlarge our hearts to praise You, to adore You, to live as children who trust our Heavenly Father. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.